And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew, goes from Huntsville all the way back to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa all the way back to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And, oh, yes, stretching across the border then to Fort Benning, Georgia. Fort Benning, I called it Fort Benning. And then even big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Love it. Love this audience. All right, so we got plenty to talk about. Text lines indeed are open, 833-687-4448. Coming up top of the hour, at the beginning of the next hour, we'll be having Congressman Dale Strong calling in. And I gotta touch on a few of the text messages I've already gotten, to include David from Bucky's. David from Bucky's, saw that already? He sent us a picture. He's using his brand spanking new Right Side Media cork bottom super duper coffee mug. That's very cool. By the way, those are some good-looking mugs, too. I used one the other day for the first time, and they're legit, man. They're just very cool. But yeah, you got to check out our merch store. Thank you, David from Bucky's. Appreciate you. You got to check out the merch store of the rightsidemedia.org website. That's rightsidemedia.org. We got T-shirts, hats, coffee mugs, and we got the Bulletproof Influence engraved glasses that have a 308 shell or bullet embedded in the glass. Very cool. Bulletproof Influence. Anyway, check it all out, the merch store at rightsidemedia.org. Dave from Capshaw, what'd you send me? Dave sends me a meme or something. Federal judge orders astronauts return to the space station. Yeah, no doubt. That's just... But you know what? That kind of hits home because we just, I mean, literally, we're talking off air in the last few minutes. I'm talking about this broke... The one I'm looking at, JP, broke in the last 12 minutes.
I'm seeing the same. I think that this one's 15 minutes ago, this tweet. Benny Johnson put it out 25 minutes ago.
Yeah, I'm looking at Benny. Maybe I haven't refreshed, but mine said 12. But U.S. District Court Judge Theodore Chuang, I'm not sure where he is, which district he's in, but he is ordering. The court finds the defendant's actions have taken to shut down USAID on an accelerated basis. Likely violated the U.S. Constitution in multiple ways, and these actions harm not only the plaintiffs, but also the public interest. And it says that basically he's granting an injunction. And what I imagine he's saying is by enjoining the federal government from shutting down USAID, that USAID would then have to be restored.
He's from Maryland, by the way.
Maryland?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that figures. That's asinine. You know, at some point, they're going to have to recognize that, you said it, I think we were talking offline, you said it, that presidents actually do have executive powers.
Yeah.
I mean, they do.
The left is trying to say that separation of powers means that the courts have all the power. It's not the case at all.
No, it's a checks and balances
It's checks
thing.
And balances. They're all, like, on the same footing, but it's...
Now, judges can get it wrong, and I get that. They have judicial discretion to review the law and interpret it in the absence of statutory law or clear and unequivocal case precedent, they are allowed to interpret to the degree they have to. It's called judicial discretion. They have to. But they can also have what the appellate courts call an abuse of their discretion. And there are a number of these cases right now where it feels like an abuse of discretion. It also feels very singularly identified towards anything Trump does. Now, I say that, people go, oh, you're just saying that because you like what Trump does. Well, yeah, there's that. But hey, oh, by the way, I'm also an attorney. Oh, by the way, I just saw a stat up on the screen. JP and I were looking at that. It was up on the screen a little while ago, and it showed all of the last presidents. We're talking from Bush, Obama, then Trump, and then Biden, and now Trump too, and how many times they had been enjoined on a national level by a federal district court judge. Oh, you got Obama, excuse me, Biden in 4 years was only enjoined, I want to say 14 times. Am I right?
Yeah, it was 14, and Trump's at 15 right now.
Trump's at 15 now within 60 days. Oh, by the way, in his first term, Trump had 64 times, which, oh, by the way, Obama only had like 12.
Yeah, 12. Bush had six.
And you look at this and go, okay, no, there's no partisanship going on in these courtrooms. Now, some would say, well, that's because Trump does so many bad things. No. Trump has equally competent advisors and legal teams and analysts to give him policy positions he can work with. Does he act? Yes. Does he also react? Yes. Is he decisive? Yes. But you know what? He's not an idiot. That guy has signed more contracts in his life than Joe Biden will ever dream of. He understands the art of staying within the law in order to make something stick. And you cannot tell me that he can have literally six times. I mean, actually, he's got six times more than Obama. In just over 4 years of time as a president, he's got six times the number of injunctions against his policies than Obama had in 8 years. That's maddening. All right, that being said, USAID is not getting rebuilt. I don't see it.
So what happens now is the question. Like, if a judge rules that, are they just going to hold out and it's going to go to the Supreme Court?
It's going to immediately be appealed. The judge has to put the order into a position for appellate level work, and it has to be issued. And there's nuances. And the federal law is going to be different than various state laws, but they all typically align on this. An injunction, by the way, is not the end of a case. An injunction is not a ruling on the merits. What we are seeing is that too often they are opining, the judges are opining heavily on what they believe the merits of the case are. An injunction is designed to do what's called preserving the status quo. In other words, if you got two people and one of them did something to the other and it's an ongoing hurt, like the doing of that thing wasn't a one-time thing, it's like an ongoing hurt. It's causing damages accruing over time and potential for more massive damages. The judge can look at it. On the motion of the person who's been aggrieved, they can move for an injunction to stop the behavior for the time being and maintain the status quo until the merits of the case are fully decided. The judge has to look at it, though, and he has to review the case to the extent that he can at that point without all the evidence, without all the facts, without all the hearings. He still has to review it and decide that he believes, first of all, that the plaintiff, the one who's complaining right now, has a likelihood of prevailing on the merits of the case eventually. That's what it says, a likelihood of prevailing on the merits. And that the failure to create the injunction would cause irreparable harm, an ongoing damage. Those things being said, if the judge sees that, he can grant the injunction just to preserve the status quo. It does not mean the case is over. The injunction itself can be appealed. Now, a few of these judges have been putting their decisions into form that is not appealable, and then you have to ask for the judge to actually issue an order and make it a final order on injunction or something, depending on the jurisdiction you're in. And they literally then have to put their order in the right place, and then the Trump side, in this case, has X amount of time under the federal rules to file their appeal. The appeals process is firm. It is real. It is necessary. Now, there are a lot of calls for impeachment. We were talking about that offline. You had a question on that?
I was just going to say, like, the Supreme Court has already ruled that the USAID payments that have been promised need to go through, which, you know, sucks, but I understand that. But if the...
No. Not quite. It was not quite like that.
Was it not?
There were $2 billion worth of payments that had already been earmarked for work that had already been done. And so it's almost as if somebody did the work expecting payment.
Yeah, yeah.
And so those $2 billion were being withheld. It's 1.9, actually. But the bottom line is the Supreme Court didn't rule on it. They just declined to take it up, which means It leaves a lower order, court in order in place. So it's kind of like they ruled, but they didn't.
Yeah.
It's like a non-ruling ruling. And so the 1.9 was not everything USAID. It was just this one batch for things that had already been contracted. And the people who contracted in good faith had every right to believe they'd get paid. So,
but one last thing on the USAID, It was created by executive order by JFK, I remember correctly.
It was.
So then I feel like it's perfectly reasonable for it to be able to get knocked down by executive order by a president.
It was created by executive order of JFK, but then it was codified by statute through congressional action, I think, in the 70s. So, but then there's a question about whether it was a full-on formal branch of government creation, or did it just merely become a source of appropriation dollars to be sent? So can Trump undo, or is it purely a creature of statute now that can't be undone without congressional action? I do know this. Trump has a say-so in the policies and the application. Mm-hmm. And what you saw was you had 10,000 employees that did not get rehired. They were let go. 10,000. So this judge apparently is wanting 10,000 people put back in their desks. And this judge is apparently wanting billions and billions of dollars on radical things around the world being spent, even though it does not even equate to the policies of the current administration. So I don't think so. But there's going to have to be a SCOTUS reckoning here somewhere.
It's going to have to be a SCOTUS precedent set that the president actually has some power, believe
actually
it or not.
Actually has some power. Now, let me ask you this. You were talking about impeachment before we got on the air.
Yeah.
Did you have a question on that, or were you just making a statement to me? I don't remember now.
We were talking about the Supreme Court Justice, how's his name escaping me at the moment?
Roberts.
Roberts made a statement about how, he doesn't like the impeachment of these judges and talked about how, or the talk of impeaching these judges, that are making these rulings. I guess I feel like it would be pretty reasonable if a judge makes a ruling that is so blatantly unconstitutional to have the impeachment talk come up. But I also agree with the fact that I don't think it's good to get in the habit of just impeaching judges that make rulings that you don't like.
Exactly.
So I think there's a balance there of like, yeah, we shouldn't impeach every judge that makes a ruling we don't like. But at the same time, if you're going to make the ordering of return of the deportation flights is the one that I think is the most egregious. I think that one would be the one where I'm, maybe not full on board of impeachment, but I think the conversation's fair if you make such an egregious ruling like that. So,
I totally agree with you. So impeachment exists and it exists for a reason. It's an option that is available. And it's certainly something that should be considered in some of the more egregious circumstances. In this case, if somebody found out that judge accepted a bribe to guide his decision, impeach him in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. If someone found out that judge had gone to a seminar that said, you got to hate Trump in everything you do. And he had stood up and clapped and somebody had it on film. And it was obvious that he had a bias and he didn't recuse himself. Then impeach him. OK, because he's lost his judicial discretion. The court's going to look for, A, did he have discretion to make the decision he did? And did he have reasonable grounds to make that decision? And was it based in law? And was he plainly and palpably wrong? That's the phrase they use. And the other is, did he abuse his discretion by carving out the law in such a way that it never could have been thought of that way? And he can get reversed on those things. And he can get reversed in a heartbeat. And that's, a baseball player has their RBI. They know where their stats are. What are they batting today? But the judges don't like to get reversed because it goes against their averages. But the impeachment process is way too premature right now. And I know that even Trump called for it. I think that was rhetoric. But now we find out that this freshman senator or congressman from Texas thought it'd be a cool idea to drop articles of impeachment. And that's asinine and immature. Mm-hmm. Because you haven't even had a chance to appeal it yet.
Yeah.
So you file the appeal first, dude. And then if you find out that the guy abused his discretion in such a way that is so egregious and beyond the pale that a reasonable judge would never have done that, then maybe you consider. I love the law, and the law can never be blind if it is constantly under assault. That's why we took such offense when Roe v. Wade and all that. We had people picketing the judges' houses. You're not supposed to be threatening action against a sitting judge who's presiding over a case. That congressman is technically trying to hold something over that judge's case to influence his actions in a case that is still pending before that judge. God, I'm on a roll right now.
It's a good conversation.
How much caffeine have I had?
I think it's a very important conversation. And I hope, like I said, soon the Supreme Court helps sort all this out, but we'll see.
Are we going to take a break?
Sure.
I guess we should. Let's take a break. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'll get some of those text messages that are sitting there in my queue. And then coming up top of the hour, we have Congressman Dale Strong calling in. He is quoted as saying, those Democrats, those left-wing liberals that are trying to do these angry town halls, they're just mad because Trump won. It's a great point. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.